WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the student section. My name is Tanner Thompson, along with Zach Keller and Adrian Wesley. We're going to talk about some college football with you all today. First, how are we doing today, fellas?
Pretty good. Pretty good week of college football. What y'all think?
Happy to be back.
Happy to have you back, brother.
So I miss you up this week. Anyway, not to talk about that too much. Let's see. We've got a heck of a game to talk about with Bama A&M. I personally was there. I don't know about you guys.
Everyone was there.
Everyone was in the building for that.
Let's start with Adrian. How did you feel about that game?
It's funny because, you know, coming into the season, before the season, it was supposed to be the biggest game of the year, the CBS doubleheader, 7 o'clock, primetime slot. And then the season started. Bama did what they needed to do, but A&M dropped a couple games. Obviously, the big one to App State, losing that at home against, like, no disrespect to App State, but a obviously inferior team. But with that being said, it lived up to be the game of the year to this point. I mean, I've seen a lot of great games this year, but that game was decided on the last play with Texas A&M being at the 2-3-yard line of Alabama with a few seconds left. So I think it lived up to what everybody wanted it to be before the season, even though it was kind of in a different setting than people thought with Alabama's backup quarterback and with A&M dropping a couple games. So that was my outtake on it.
Yeah, definitely a great game to be at. Such a good time. It definitely lived up to the hype. Like, before the season, it was the game where if you're an alumni, if you're at Alabama from out of town, you're coming to that game. That's the weekend that you want to come. And it, that's what it was. People still showed up, obviously.
Crowd was amazing.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Cool atmosphere.
Forcing that field goal, man, those back-to-back false starts when they were on, like, the 50 or something like that, that was crazy.
That game was wild, for sure.
Yeah. Definitely a really stressful game, but a really good time when you come home.
People talk about games coming down to the last play, and, like, you know, sometimes those are like, oh, they make a long drive in the 30-yard line and take one last shot. This was literally, have no idea what's going to happen until the last second goes down.
Crazy how much that one play changes.
Exactly.
A couple of seasons.
Did you guys see, I think he did it with the Crimson Mike, but Nick Saban broke down the defensive call in that last play.
Did you guys see that video?
He does that show after every game.
Yeah. Watched him break down that.
It makes you feel like you don't know much about football.
Makes you feel like nothing. Makes you feel like you know nothing. But yeah, let's get a little bit more in depth in this game. How did you guys feel about, obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs had a great game. Do you think there was any specific reason for that, or do you think it was just all around good play?
You want to go, Zach? Gibbs, it's funny because Gibbs had 154 yards and Miro had 83 rush yards. And it's like, I mean, obvious. I think you can find any person that doesn't really watch football at all could tell that Milrow was struggling passing, like struggling mightily. So it was kind of weird to me because, in my opinion, I didn't understand why A&M didn't stack the box. Like, you could have put 9 guys in the box and be like, if you're going to win, you're going to pass. And they didn't. So that was kind of a head scratcher. But once again, Gibbs, not even close, but it's like by far the best playmaker on Alabama's team. We talked before the show that I think he kind of, he's a different position, but in a way replaced Jamison Williams. Wears the same number. You know, difference maker who transferred in. So he's for sure the best playmaker. Alabama needs to find a couple more playmakers because they're riding Gibbs right now, for sure.
We've got some guys coming in as soon as Georgia Worrell has got some time in the past 2 games.
He had a touchdown that Arkansas game first came back. I wouldn't see how Tyler Harrell doesn't play this week.
He needs to. I've been waiting for that dude forever.
Yeah, they said Arkansas game, so that's 2 games ago.
I
would be shocked if he at least doesn't see the field.
Absolutely. I probably should have asked this before the Jahmyr Gibbs question, but I wanted to ask if you all have a player of the game. Excuse me.
Player.
You can play two if you want. But player for now. Zach, how about we start with you?
Yeah, I got it. I definitely need to play.
That's fair.
Pretty easy answer, but we just need him. It seems like we need him to have a game like that every game, especially if Melrose's playing. We're going to need him to run the ball, and he did that really well.
Absolutely.
Who do you think it was, sir?
I mean, the answer is probably Gibbs, but because that one's, you know, it's a little obvious because it went so well, I'm going to give a secondary answer. And mine is actually going to be Again, another obvious answer would probably be Will Anderson.
Okay.
Lives in the backfield. But one guy I do want to give credit to, Tyler Steen, left tackle out of Vanderbilt. That guy had a great game. Yeah. I was super impressed with him.
He graded pretty high.
He makes our I think the offensive line as a whole played well, but he makes that offensive line look a lot more solid.
Right.
Because it's been shaky sometimes. He makes me feel a lot more confident in it. But yeah, I think if I had to take it, I just wanted to give him a little bit of credit.
I'm going to roll with, before I say his name, I'm going to say he, in some fans' estimate, had an up-and-down game with Terrion Arnold.
Nice.
Yeah.
But I like that. I think Terrion Arnold arguably, well, he obviously made the biggest play.
Yeah.
The game-saving touchdown, or, you know what I'm saying, at the end. That was the biggest play. But he forced the only turnover that Alabama had.
Right.
So with that interception, which came in a key moment because it came after a Bama fumble.
Yeah.
So I think that Terrion Arnold, I think he made the biggest two plays of the game for Alabama.
Yeah.
He did have an up-and-down game. But, I mean, realistically, the guy he was going against was an all-world freshman, Evan Stewart. Like,
yeah,
that dude, here in a couple of years, more than likely could be a first-round pick.
Absolutely.
So I think Terrion Arnold made the biggest two plays of the game. And him being he's a freshman. He's a second year, but he's still a freshman. So I think he had a great game for Alabama.
It seems like Arnold and Kool-Aid are kind of locked in as our guys.
Right? It does.
No doubt.
It does kind of seem like that.
We ain't seen Kyrie Jackson and Rickson.
Yeah. They haven't been.
No real playing time in a while.
Yeah.
Which I don't. I like that. Yeah. Like, I like that. I hear two guys who hopefully they just keep getting better game by game, and we're going to need them to be good in this game.
We're going to need them for next week.
Yeah. I agree. I think they are our best two guys, but if for some reason, if one of those guys had to come out, I think our backups were better equipped this year than we were last year.
Yeah. Right.
Last year, I don't think our backups in that position were so as good, but this year, I think they're pretty solid.
Absolutely. I agree. How about Will Anderson that game? I mean, double-digit pressures. Anyone who just looks at numbers is going to end and watch the games and tell you, oh, zero sacks. If you watch that game and thought Will Anderson didn't play well, you don't know a lick about football. That's the only answer for that.
Yeah.
Will Anderson, 10 pressures. He was living in the backfield.
It's crazy.
Just ridiculous. And even I think Dallas Turner had 2 sacks.
Yep.
I believe.
Braswell added a sack as
well. Braswell really showed.
Three-headed monster.
Mm-hmm. Showed that he's part of that.
He is. Because,
you know, Dallas Turner and Will Anderson get all the hype, but Braswell really showed
he's one of those guys.
Some of that.
Yeah.
So makes that front seven just look even more promising, more than it was.
The thing about Will Anderson, anybody that watches college football, I think before the season, like, it was pretty unanimous that Will Anderson was the best player in college football. And I think it was about a good margin.
Right.
I think, like, he's, like, made that margin, and, like, it's time soon now.
Absolutely.
Like, he's only, like, separated himself more from the crowd. Like,
right.
He's the best player, and it's really not close. It's really not close.
I feel like he's getting better every game.
Dude.
It's ridiculous.
Like, yeah. And then if you just take it to his side of the ball, because I think the guys that were, like, in the argument with him were, you know, the two big quarterbacks, Bryce being on his own team, and then Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's anybody close on defense.
No, I think he's pretty head and shoulders above any non-quarterback player. In terms of the draft,
easily,
he's going to be the first non-quarterback taken. And
might be one, maybe two. Two, without, I don't see how he doesn't go one or two, honestly.
Pick-wise?
Yeah.
That's not unfair at all.
He's the best player.
Yeah, a lot of that shakes out to how those top picks end up for the actual NFL draft, but it's hard to imagine nobody wants the top three Will Anderson.
I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on, which is probably the main takeaway for all the Tide fans, or really just college football spectators around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Milroe. What do y'all think of Milroe?
Obviously, super athletic.
Concerning
sometimes when he's throwing the ball. Just a little concerned with that, but definitely athletic. So we can figure out how to utilize that if he plays this week.
Right.
I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, for me, I think the athleticism is really just about all you can say about him from that game.
That's
unfortunately. You know, he can throw it a mile, but even then, you know, he had a pretty badly underthrown deep post route.
I don't know which was worse, the fumbles or the pick.
The fumbles were awful, and again, it's tough for us to compare him because we have a prolific talent in Bryce Young starting at the position.
And the guys before him.
Exactly.
He's the first quarterback who stepped on the field for Bama in since 2017 that's been average.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Hurts to a Mac and Rice.
And I think, you know, obviously they were able to design an offense around him when they knew, but that doesn't quite do justice of, like, a lot of things that go into that. When you build your team, your personnel, play calling, whatever, when you build that in the beginning of the season, a large part of it is building around the quarterback.
Right.
So at the beginning of the season, they build that around Bryce Young and what he can do. So I think that next year, once you have Milroe in, I think that, you know, obviously
starter
and play calling is going to, if he's starter, that's true.
Big if.
Starter.
Capital I, capital F.
Big if. But yeah, if he's starter, then I think you come out there and look a little bit different offense than
right.
And maybe that gives him a better chance.
Yeah, I agree. I think, to not go too bad on the negative, a couple of things that were working against him, obviously it was his first start in a I mean, given that it was a home game, but still, what was hyped up to be the biggest game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Probably didn't help that he was playing a team from his home state.
Yeah.
That probably didn't help. Bill O'Brien for sure didn't help.
Bill O'Brien seems to never help, unfortunately.
No, this isn't. And then I won't say the receivers played bad at all. They didn't play bad. But this isn't one of the typical Bama teams where the Bama receivers are going to help you, so to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if he had a J-Mo out there or a Mechie, I think they help him. More than just being out there.
Yeah.
But,
of course.
Yeah. And Saban talked about how he was nervous, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big game.
For sure.
Come in and start.
And he's still a freshman.
Yeah. Still a freshman.
But
you could tell that there's definitely some problems there. So.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Before we go to break, I want to talk a little bit about, I've talked about on this show a lot about Alvin's rushing game and how he needs to be tip top shape if we want to become a dynamic team. And, as for right now, I just want to give some numbers to you guys. We are averaging 257.2 yards per game rushing, and that is third in the nation behind Air Force and Army, who are both option offenses.
So we're basically one.
Exactly. So those numbers are a little bit skewed.
Yeah.
And then, but we have 37 attempts per game, which is 58 in rushing attempts per game.
That's a stat.
That is a heck of a rushing offense. And that's, when you have a team like that, one thing, again, a big reason I want to bring this up, and I'll probably bring it up again when we do a preview, Tennessee isn't super great against teams that can be dynamic. They're good at shutting you down if you're one-dimensional.
They do have a good rush defense.
They have a great rush defense.
But
I'm saying, if like, they can't do everything. They can't shut you down. That was a big reason that that Florida game was as close as it was, that they can move the ball down the field. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit more once we go to recap. But,
yeah, I was going to throw out a stat real quick before we went to break. I was just going to tell y'all, if I told y'all before the game that Jalen Milroe's would throw 3 touchdowns and rush for 83 yards, what do you think the score is? Like, what do you think? Like, probably Alabama blowout. But if I told you at the same time he had 111 passing yards total and 3 turnovers total, we'd probably lose. But when you get those two stats together in one game, it comes out the last play.
It's a confusing thing to have in a quarterback, but. With that,
we'll be back in a few minutes with some college football's holy cat. But for now, we'll see you.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to the Student Section Podcast. Right now, we're going to talk about some overall college football recap. I think the game I want to start with personally is going to be Utah-UCLA. What did you guys think about this game, if you guys were able to see it?
I think this game said a lot about both teams. I think that UCLA has been severely underrated. You know, Chip Kelly, I want to say it's his fifth, sixth year?
I think so.
It's got to be one of those two, one of those. He's been there a while, and Dorian Thompson Robinson is feeling like he's been there. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, that he's been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they really just have it rolling. Dorian, DTR, 299 through the air and 4 touchdowns. We talked about Charbonnet as well. He had 198 yards and a touchdown. So if your running back gives you 200 yards and a touchdown, and your QB gives you 304 touchdowns, and you're at home, Yeah. More times than not, you're probably going to win that game. Mm-hmm. And they looked pretty good doing it. They looked really good. Mm-hmm. They're winning at halftime, outscored them in the third and in the fourth. Well, they outscored them in third, and fourth quarter was even. So, but they 10-point victory against a top 25 team. As for Utah, I think they were probably overrated coming into the year. And I thought that they could make some noise and maybe win the Pac-12.
Right.
But I don't think Cam Rising has been as good as I thought he would be. And he's a solid quarterback, but, you know, he had that interception against Florida to lose that game, which was probably the biggest moment of the year. And then he didn't throw a touchdown in this game and also had a pick. So,
So they dropped down to 20th in the AP poll this week. Mm-hmm. They haven't really – I mean, they beat Oregon State last week pretty easily.
Right. Yeah.
But other than that, they lost to Florida week one. Like, they haven't really proved anything.
They have.
Yeah, they're wrong.
So, overrated going into the season. Yeah. Even now, it seems like they're not – I don't know.
No, I agree. Haven't proved anything yet. It's like their two biggest games, like, they lost.
Yeah.
So, it's like, what have they done besides – why are they ranked 20th besides preseason?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's like, you don't really know what they are yet. So,
And they got USC this week.
I know. There you go.
That's bad. That's at Utah, though, which they always got a tough crowd. But that's really a game that they need.
Yeah.
For sure.
DTR having 299 off. He was 18 for 24 in that game.
23.
Only
had 5 incompletions.
Excuse me. But that's about 13 yards per attempt, I think.
Yeah.
And that's per attempt. And, I mean – you know, obviously that's not how it goes in a football game, but if you're looking at averages where your quarterback, every time he snaps the ball in a pass play, that's a first down and some change. Like, that's a ridiculously productive offensive game. And a running back with 200 yards, like you said, again.
Also, we didn't say DTR had a rushing touchdown in that game.
Rushing touchdown.
Yeah. His stats are nice. He's at up to 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns through the air.
Yeah.
He's also got 2 touchdowns on the ground, which he had a touch to hit 2. Excuse me, I'm sorry. He had a rushing touchdown in his last 2 games, which were their biggest 2 games against ranked them all. So, he's doing well.
Yeah. Passing touchdowns are pretty well spread out, and his passing yards were really spread out between all the receivers. Like, I'm talking nobody above 40 yards, and they all have at least 20. Like, that's a really good number. Touchdowns were relatively spread out. The guy with the most was their slot guy, Jake Bobo, I believe his name is. He had 2 touchdowns. Yeah. And, you know, that's good for them to see after, was it Kyle Phillips they had last year that went to Tennessee, I believe?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's another slot weapon, goal line weapon that they've been able to go to, and that's, you know.
This is his 5th year starting, how we talked about that. He was a starter as a freshman, and he had that COVID season.
Right.
His stats have.
5 years starting.
Yeah. He's showing it, too, because you look at his stats compared to other years. Like, last season in total, he only had 2,400 passing yards. He's got 1,500 through 6 games. Yeah. And his, like, career high for a season is 21 touchdowns in 4-year start. And he has 15 through 6 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty sure he's going to – this will be his best year.
Yeah,
he'll make some money this year for sure.
Absolutely. UCLA, they had they had a pass rush going this game. They had 21 total pressures against Utah this game. That's – don't get me wrong, like, that's not quite Bama numbers. But 21 pressures in the game, that is an impressive number. Especially against a Utah team who sometimes can pride themselves on their front 7 and offensive line. So I thought that was a big thing to see from UCLA.
They got another big game this week at Eugene, Oregon. Top 12 matchup. So if UCLA wins that one, man, he really might have to start looking out for them.
Yeah, so I'm looking at Charbonnet's season stats. He has broken 100 yards in. He missed. I think he missed week 2.
Right.
So he's played in 5 games. He's broken 100 yards 4 times. He's got 6 touchdowns.
He's good.
Yeah.
That dude's good.
He's came on the last 2 weeks too.
Yeah.
When they needed him, like DTR.
Yeah. 124 yards last week, or 2 weeks ago. 198 against KU.
Their best players are there when they've needed them, so they look good.
Absolutely. Are there any games you guys want to talk about as well?
Is there one you want to highlight?
Sure. Let's talk about Texas, Oklahoma.
Okay, that's where I was going. Let's be honest. I'm going to go ahead and be the guy to say it, because I'll be honest. If Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt against Alabama, I don't think Alabama comes out on the winning side of
the game. That's hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical.
Never know.
Never know. We'll never know. I don't know, though. But Quinn Ewers is... We talked about before the show, it's, you know, next season, it'll be him and Caleb Williams all year for the Heisman, and for QB1. I don't know. It's a little early to say who's better, but
right.
They're both really good. But to stay on Texas, Quint Ewers and Bijan Robinson and Xavier Worthy, like, those guys are good. All three of those have potential to be first-round picks. And
absolutely.
That was the best – that was the biggest blowout, I think, ever against Texas.
And it was just – at least for me, I mean, it was just unexpected.
Too.
Like, if yeah. Ewers is starting, I think Texas wins that game, like, pretty easily. I did not think it was –
I didn't.
49s.
Yeah. I thought you could have told me it'd be like a 21-point difference. Because Oklahoma's looked rough.
Yeah, right.
This season, but 49-0. That's about as bad a blowout as it gets.
I'm pretty sure I could be wrong, but I think that's the biggest blowout that Texas or Oklahoma's ever suffered to Texas.
I believe
because that rivalry is like I've said a few times off air that I thought they had the best rivalry as far as like the competition.
Yeah, like you mean close
game. Yeah, like the game is always good. Like it's always like one of the 10 best games of the college football season, and like they hype it up and it's just a big showdown. And this year is just a big beatdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking at Texas schedule for the rest of the year. I think they can win out. If Ewers is healthy the whole year, dude.
Yeah. They definitely have the potential. They have the potential.
It's a bold take, but like, it's bold, but Quinn Ewers.
Oklahoma State, tough. TCU, tough.
Both of those are road games, too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So,
oh, no, TCU's at home.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. It's at Oklahoma State. They play at Kansas. Home at Baylor. Mm-hmm. At Kansas State. Home, Iowa State.
Dude, their schedule's tough. I think they'll drop one of them. If they win all those games.
Who do you think they drop them to?
No clue. But, I mean, that schedule is just like, K-State is good this year. Kansas is good this year. Iowa State's respectable. Baylor's respectable. Who else did you say?
TCU.
TCU's – that's TCU's, the best. I said them last, and they're the best one.
Yeah, they're real
good. So, like, that schedule – the Big 12 is pretty good this year. They, like, have a, like, bunch of decent teams.
Yeah, because TCU's ranked. Kansas is ranked. Kansas State's ranked.
Baylor's a ranked caliber team.
Yeah.
Iowa State's not ranked.
State's not.
Oklahoma State ranked.
Yeah, they're
that's
good.
This week. That's yeah. Or no, that's next week. Sorry.
It's funny. Their best team of the conference is down, having a down year. So
yeah,
I bet a lot of teams will take advantage of that. They got Kansas. Absolutely. Oklahoma's got Kansas this week. What's that game? It's at Norman. So
at Norman,
maybe Oklahoma get back on the win column. I don't know. That'd be four in a row. When's the last time they lost four games in a row? It's had to been.
I don't know.
Before. We were ever thought about.
We ever thought about. Yeah. That is a funny. Oh man.
Yeah. So you got anything else in that game, Ken?
I mean, other than the fact that I mean, I'm a big fan of watching QBs play. Excuse me, and getting real in depth on how they do it. And that guy Quinn Ewers deals.
He's a dog.
I mean, he can. It just seems like he can do just about whatever you ask him in terms of passing game. He doesn't really seem like there's any. He hits stuff over the middle of the field, out routes. He's not afraid to take checkdowns. I mean, he is just a good quarterback, smart. I mean, I'm really excited about him. I think he's going to be highly touted for next year's draft. But yeah, that's about all I have to say from that game because, I mean, total domination. Not much more you can pull away from
I wanted to mention, before we talk about the TCU Kansas game, I wanted to mention. Three blowouts in the SEC, and I want to get your guys' take on which one was the most impressive to y'all. So, first was an 11 a.m. slot. Tennessee beat LSU.
Right.
LSU was ranked as that. LSU 40-13. Then State took down Arkansas 40-17. And then Georgia at the 2:30 slot, on CBS, first game, beat Auburn 42-10. So, of those three games, which one stuck out to you the most, or which one was the most, like, wow, that was nice?
Probably, honestly, Mississippi State playing in Arkansas. Okay. Just because with Tennessee and with Georgia, one, I don't think LSU should be ranked in.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of ridiculous that they're ranked. So I think most people knew that Tennessee was going to come in there and they're going to take care of business. Even though that game, like in terms of the spread, it was way closer than it should have been.
Didn't it?
Yeah, before the game.
I think it was because of that 25 besides LSU's name.
Right.
More than talent.
Absolutely. And then with the Auburn-Georgia game, again, Auburn's a sad team right now. That's about what I have expected.
Poverty.
What I would have expected. So, again, that's why I think Mississippi State, just in terms of a competitive standpoint, I don't think anyone would have guessed that significant of a win for Mississippi State.
Right.
So that's probably my personal.
Yeah. So for me, I was definitely most surprised at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's a good football team. Like, absolutely. They're going to be a good team when we put coming in.
Yeah, especially if they won this game this week.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah, I felt the same way about that. But, and then for Tennessee, it was, for me, it was like, all right, these guys are legit. Like, to go into LSU, and it's still a tough place to play, even if they're not.
Right. Not really.
But, and they just dominated. So, I was like, wow, this is going to be a game for us this week.
Was that, which one were you more impressed with? Was it the Tennessee game?
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to be the tiebreak and I'm going to roll with Zach. The Tennessee game was just. I agree.
But also, like, Mississippi started. Mississippi State surprised me.
Yeah, yeah. Very surprising.
Because I didn't, at least for me, I didn't realize that they were
as good.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think Arkansas was heavily overrated.
Yeah, right.
Heavily overrated. I don't think KJ Jefferson's who we thought he was. I think. Last season, Treylon Burks made KJ Jefferson look a lot better.
I want to take a small victory lap by KJ Jefferson.
What'd you say?
I've been saying, I believe on this show, we can go back and check the records, but I've been low on KJ Jefferson all year.
You got the receipts on that one?
I'm pretty sure.
I think I did.
Zach's advocating for me. I've been low on KJ Jefferson all year. And it's starting to pay out a little bit.
You called. He's not.
Not to be a hater.
No. I think you called it too.
No. Just to my own horn.
I think Treylon Burks made him look a lot better. But I think you said it best that Mississippi State was a surprise outcome. But just as far as impressed, like, I get LSU not, you know, LSU of some years. But I thought that was a big trap game for them, given that it was an 11 o'clock slot.
Yeah.
And the next game after that's Bama. Like, you got to know, like, Tennessee's like, okay, this Alabama game is about to be the biggest game of our season.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to dominate a team like that on the road in an early game,
mm-hmm.
I thought was very impressive.
Absolutely.
I thought it was very impressive.
Absolutely. I probably would have been the same answer if I think I may be lower on LSU than you guys maybe.
I agree.
And so that's why I think the Mississippi State win was a little bit more impressive to me, because I think I kind of, for me personally, I think I didn't think LSU was that great coming into it.
I hope they win this week.
State against
Kentucky.
Right.
Levis is back, and it's at Kentucky, though.
Mm-hmm. So it's a tough one.
Tough one for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Before we go to break, you want to highlight the Kansas game?
Absolutely. Like we have said before, we're huge Kansas people on this show.
It was tough.
Unfortunately, we had a rough week. But, again, the CCU-Kansas game, unfortunately, Jalen Daniels had to go down in the second quarter with a knee injury, shoulder injury, I believe it was. It's going to make him miss significant time. Backup Jason Bean was not bad. He was 16 for 24 with 262 yards, 4 touchdowns, and an interception.
I think not bad is kind of disrespectful.
Excuse me, he was good.
He was good at football.
He played a good football game.
He was good at football.
unfortunately, both quarterbacks had 2 fumbles each, which I think was probably a big reason the game went the way it did. In terms of TCU winning by a touchdown, he was 38-31.
He was.
So,
pretty even game.
I agree. What are your guys' thoughts on this game?
Well, yeah, it was tough to, because we're obviously a Kansas show. It was tough to see them go down. But I was impressed with TCU.
TCU's a good team.
Because it's like, for me, it's like TCU, you know, football, TCU doesn't really, for me at least. But they proved something this week.
Absolutely.
They definitely did.
Max Duggan had a good game.
Yeah, he did
have
a good game. But, so he went 23 for 33. 3 touchdowns, 308 yards. So I was definitely impressed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Quentin Johnson had a monster game.
That guy is a freak.
Yeah.
He's good.
He put up like a Cooper Kupp stat line this week. 14 receptions, 206 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah.
He made himself some money in this game.
Absolutely.
For sure. He's a big receiver.
6'4", 215. He looked good in the open field.
Yeah.
Genuinely. There was 2 like very specific plays where it was either some kind of comeback or curl route where he gets the ball. And he just knows exactly which shoulder that safety coming down on is on, and he just turns the opposite way, goes and gets 10 more. That happened twice, and he was perfectly right on both of them. Again, he looked great in this game. And again, being that good in the open field for being 6'4", 215, that's something that a team looks for.
Really good.
Absolutely. And that was his first significant game.
It was.
He did not have
any catches coming into the game.
Exactly.
And he had 4
no touchdowns.
Game.
He had no touchdowns and 9 catches only coming into the game. That's a crazy stat.
I bet they use him a lot the rest of the game. As they should.
I sure hope so. That guy's a freak. I'd be really excited to see what he can do.
Duggan also had 55 yards and a touchdown on the ground. So
okay.
He's a nice dual threat. I think if Daniels plays it, Well, it's hard to say the what if, because, I mean, honestly, Jason Bean couldn't have played much. He did have three turnovers, but, like, as a backup, like, he played pretty good. He played well enough to win the game, for sure. So,
Jalen Daniels, before he went down, he was 5-10 with 89 yards.
Yeah. I guess he didn't get time enough to really get rolling. That's good, though. Five completions for 89 yards.
That is pretty good. Absolutely.
But it was a good game to watch. Probably one of the better games of the day. I hate that. It's always kind of like fizzles out when the quarterback gets hurt, because, like, you just never know. And then you play the what if, and you just never know. But it was definitely a good game to watch. Don't want to take anything away from TCU. They have a very talented team. Number 13 right now. Number 13 in the country and 5-0. So
what is their offense rank? Do you know?
I'm not sure what the offense rank is. It's
high.
Gotta be high.
I think
it's gotta be high.
I'm pretty sure it's top three.
They're very balanced.
Very balanced.
Very balanced team, for sure. They're really good on offense.
Now you
both aspects, yeah. They are, for sure.
Right now. But yeah. So we've talked about TCU Kansas. We've talked about Utah, UCLA, Tennessee, LSU. In the next section, when we come back in, we're going to talk about some more Alabama football, but the preview for this week and playing Tennessee. But for now, we'll see you guys in a few minutes.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Student Section Podcast once again. We are now in the third and final section, and right now we are going to talk about some Alabama football preview for this game against Tennessee this week. How are you guys feeling so far? Adrian, I kind of want to go to you first, because I feel like you're going to have a unique opinion.
Yeah, you hit on that. I actually do have a unique, and I'm going to give somewhat of two opinions, given that, you know, two quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. If Milroe plays, if Bryce plays. But first, I'm going to just go on the assumption that Bryce is playing. Mm-hmm. If Bryce plays, I think Bama's going to win by a good margin. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a good, like, 45-23 margin. I know that's a big score, but I think if you look historically at Alabama while Nick Saban's been there, if you look at the games they've struggled with, I want to give the most recent. Last year in the Iron Bowl, they had the four overtime struggle against Auburn, and they barely win. Everybody the week before is like, oh, Georgia's going to put it on Bama. And it's not going to be close, and they don't want none of Georgia this season. I kind of get that feel from this game. A&M obviously being the Auburn game.
It's
like the exact same scenario. Everybody's talking like, oh, this is the year Tennessee is going to beat Alabama. And I just think Nick Saban, I mean, I can't recall too many times since I've been watching Alabama where Bama was like, okay, Alabama's going to lose, and they actually lost. Mm-hmm. Like, the last time I remember that was 2010 with Cam Newton.
Right.
And that team was better than Alabama, really. And Alabama still almost won that game. So whenever Nick Saban's in this position, I think it's his favorite position to be in. And I think Alabama's defense is going to really show up.
Absolutely.
Big
time. Would you want Bryce to play if he's not?
Absolutely. No. No.
I think this may be a hot take here, but from what I know about an AC shoulder joint, is that when you're playing, hey, this is just Google. This is not me being a medical professional.
Take this with a handful of salt, please.
But from what I have heard, it does not get worse. It's very difficult to make it worse when playing. But the counter to that is that it's painful.
You're right.
So that level of pain depends. You know, if it's hurt to the point where he can't drive the ball downfield, if he can't put zip on passes, then it could be tough to justify having it in. That being said, I feel like I kind of said this off air, but Bryce Young, he's a gamer. We all know that.
He's for sure.
And so if there is a good chance where he's talking to his medical staff in this week, he's going to be like, listen, I'm playing.
Yeah.
That could very easily be what he's doing. So, you know, and again, it makes Tennessee have to prepare two very different ball games.
Right.
You know, they got to prepare very differently for Bryce Young.
And that's why I like that. No, it's
fine. Absolutely.
I'll be surprised if he don't start. Maybe, I don't know if he'll finish. I think he'll finish again, but I'll be shocked if Bryce doesn't give it a go. for sure. He's a competitor.
I will tell you, if Jalen Milroe does start, and let's say he even has a decent start,
yeah,
and Bryce Young comes in later in that game, that would be, I mean, one, if that was a home game, that stadium wouldn't stop screaming for an hour.
Yeah.
But
I don't think that, I think that was more possible this week.
Right.
Like, I don't think, given the magnitude of this game, because a lot of people going into the game thought, hey, Bama's going to, like, mollywop A&M.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think if Bryce can play, that he doesn't start. Like, I don't see him coming into the game, being, like, midway through the game, be like, oh, like, let me go in now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though. That would be that would be very wild if it didn't, for some reason, happen. Maybe if Milroe got hurt and Bryce is like, ah, put me out there. Put me in.
That'd be wild. I mean, if it happened. I can't speak for a Tennessee player, but you got to be scared on that sideline if you see Bryce Young come back.
Tennessee doesn't want him to play.
Exactly.
No.
They do not want him to play. Because, I mean, I feel like if Bryce Young starts, that could be, like, in terms of a spread, I feel like that's got to add 7 to a spread in terms of Alabama's favor. If Bryce Young's starting, especially if he wasn't hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If we were going, if we were going this week, Bryce fully healthy, never got hurt,
mm-hmm,
we'd be careful.
Exactly. We also would beat A&M by more, which would really help with that favoring system. But yeah, is there anything that you guys, I guess not overall, specifically, is there anything you guys want to talk about matchup wise in terms of position groups, specific players, anything like that?
You got some of that?
Yeah, I'm looking at our three headed monster of Will Anderson, Craswell, and Dallas Turner.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're gonna have a game. I know Adrian keeps saying it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We need them to have a game, and I think they're gonna have a game.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm going to be most focused on, whether Bryce played or not. I think our defense needs to show up either way.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did you have one, Tanner? You can go ahead.
You go ahead.
I think the obvious would probably be Hendon Hooker versus Alabama secondary. So I'm going to go I want to flip around. I'm going to go Alabama's receivers versus Tennessee secondary, which if you look at Tennessee's team, I think their weakness is their secondary.
Right.
And I think Alabama's weakness on their team is their receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, something's got to give in that game.
Right.
One of those, like, sides of the ball for each team is, like, more than likely going to outperform the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the biggest factor of the game. Like, if Alabama's receivers, like, play well, I think Alabama will win. But, like, if Tennessee's secondary can play better than they've been playing, they're really not, like, great.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that'll be the biggest matchup of the game for sure.
Absolutely. And again, that 300 monster, that front seven, that's going to be, I mean, overall, across the board, it's the best defense that Tennessee has played this year. And I think significantly, I think by a pretty big margin.
Big margin. I mean, who would be closest? Florida, maybe?
Maybe Florida.
They're not good defensively.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this, in terms of this game, obviously, we know how Tennessee plays football, but, you know, spread out the offense as far as you can and just yuck it downfield. You know, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Brian Branch and Terran Arnold, they're going to be key players in this game.
Yeah.
And again, the two safeties we have, is Jordan Battle playing?
He's in. Oh, yeah. Battle's in.
That's what I thought. Jordan Battle, DeMarco Helens, they're going to be big parts of this game. Honestly,
Brian Branch.
Absolutely. I think they're
our whole defense.
Entire secondary.
Moody's back.
Moody's back. That's
he missed
huge.
Last game. Jalen Moody back. But to be fair, Deontay Lawson, I don't think he was like a big step down.
He did play well.
And Henry Tolotoa revenge game.
I like that part line. You brought that up earlier.
I know. I can't believe I forgot about that.
Something I wanted to say was we talked about Tennessee secondary not being so great.
Right.
Jalen McCullough, did y'all see that where he got arrested?
Yeah, he's not playing.
He's a captain, right?
He's what?
He's a captain, right? He is.
Yeah. No, but this is the crazy thing, though. He's suspended for a game, but it's not this game.
They get to choose which game.
So he's playing?
He's playing this game, and he's suspended against UTA the game after Alabama.
That's great.
That's so awful convenient.
Like,
all that, is.
That tells me you can do what you want to do over there at Tennessee. Because you know that's just their third player arrested since like May.
Yeah.
So, like,
not to throw shade towards Tennessee, but if somebody gets in trouble like that at Alabama, they're not playing.
No chance.
They're not playing.
Maybe Bryce, though. No, but realistically, like, I don't think Saban does that for anybody. Like, he's had so many great, like,
yeah.
Hey, you're suspended a game, but like it's not the next game. Yeah. It's the game after the next, just because next game is probably the biggest game we've had in close to a decade. Like that like blows my mind. I'm glad he's getting to play because, I mean, I looked at the story. The story was kind of weird. Like, I want everybody on Tennessee team to be there. Mm-hmm. Just like I want Bryce to be there.
Right.
But it's still kind of like... You want good football. Yeah, it's still weird in ways. Like, how are you... You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely. I was just looking at a bunch of just matchup stuff earlier today just because I was trying to see if there was some hole in what neither team that we were missing that we couldn't look at. But, I mean, in terms of matchup, Bama, obviously, one of, if not the best rushing offenses in the country. Same time, Tennessee, I think, is eighth in opposing rushing yards per game allowed.
They are.
So, you know, that's a good high ranking. I was looking at our pass rush versus Tennessee's offensive line. Tennessee's offensive line has played. They've been solid this season. It's a big part of why that offense works so well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I think the biggest thing you can talk about is probably secondary versus receivers. Because
really both sides of the ball is going to determine the game.
Exactly. So, I think there's no clear thing that one... I mean, obviously, we aren't the coaching staffs of each team, but as far as I can tell, there's no clear weakness that one team can expose.
Yeah.
But
it's going to be a battle.
Tillman's not going to play.
Cedric,
they haven't said it, but like I think it's unlikely that Cedric Tillman will play. From what I've seen, they said he's expected back against Kentucky, which that's a couple weeks after this game. So obviously, there's no reason to play against UTA next week after Bama, but
they were still pretty. They were moving the ball last week without Tillman going in there. Then again, though, that is LSU. LSU and Alabama are not the same team by a mile, but I think LSU only had. Thank you, Zach. I think LSU only had like 5-6 pressures, something like that game. And that's just simply not going to happen with Alabama. Alabama is going to be in your face. Those guys are going to get through. They're going to make Hendon Hooker.
Yeah. You know what's good?
There you go.
I'm sorry. I apologize. You were on the topic that I was going to throw out. That they came out today on ESPN and it said statistically Tennessee has the most pressures any team this season.
Really?
The most. More than Alabama, which is like kind of scary. Because if Miro plays, I don't know. I was going to ask you, like, what route do you see Bama winning if Miro is the starter?
I mean, I don't know. Like,
what he does well, they stop.
Yeah. So, I still think, again, I talked about the numbers for Alabama's rushing offense a little bit earlier. We were third in yards per game this season on the ground. Behind Army and Air Force, which again are option offenses, basically number one.
Right.
And 58th in attempts per game. That is an efficient.
That's insane.
Game. So that is a really strong run game. And I know I said Tennessee is eighth in essentially run defense. They pretty much shut down LSU on the ground last week.
They pretty much shut them down about everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They did very few things wrong.
Right.
So I think that's going to be the biggest.
Maybe that Saban's talked about it a lot this week. I'm going to try and answer your question for an idea. Maybe turnovers.
Yeah. That would for sure. There's no way possible they lose a turnover battle with Miller starting and win and not feel like. I just couldn't see like any way.
If we can doing that. Force like a couple turnovers and if Miller starting and give him the ball. This good field position, like even to the point where we could come out of the field and get some type of points. Like turnovers are going to be a huge part.
If he starts, they would probably need to win the turnover margin.
Yeah,
because we lost it by 3 last week. I think if they win the turnover margin by 3, that would really give Alabama a chance to win.
Really, and there is a world where that happens. I mean, you have a team that's slinging the ball down the field and you have a team that has a really talented pass rush.
Yeah.
That can be a recipe for forcing balls down the field and creating turnovers. That being said, Hendon Hooker has been pretty good.
No interceptions. Two fumbles on the year, no INTs.
No interceptions.
Wow. Dude, that's crazy. And vice versa, Alabama only has 3 on the seat. This has been their worst year that I've ever watched.
I mean,
watching turnovers wise.
It's so weird. Like, it's not like you don't have we have the talent. This is not happening.
I think the thing about last game was a lot of times when we have close games, like in these past 2 years especially, when we've been a really good team, we have close games. People like to say, oh, it's Alabama, like, it's them going down. A lot of times, it's the team we're playing, they're late. Like, obviously, you know, Alabama gets the team's best. That's just what happens. But against A&M, there's two teams playing bad. It was just two teams playing bad football.
Bad play
of times. A lot of other times. Excuse me. It's two good football teams.
Right.
Going up against each other. This one was bad
on that day.
They just simply were bad. And against Tennessee, against Tennessee, I think I brought this up a little bit earlier, but Tennessee, they let Florida put up 32 points on them a few weeks ago. And the big reason they were able to do that was the big reason they were moving the ball down the field is because they had a pretty dynamic offense. They were able to do a few different things because they have Anthony Richardson. And but with Jaden Daniels from LSU last week, he's not a great passer. But what he can do is he can get out of the pocket, he can extend plays, he can make things happen. But that was what Tennessee did. They kind of shut him down out of that. They made him stay in the pocket and they made him try to be successful down the field if he could. Now, there's not much you can force Bryce Young into. Or even just the offense as a whole. Obviously, you want to force Jalen Miller to throw the ball.
I agree.
But if Bryce Young's in that game,
it'll be different.
You can't force him to beat you with his arm because he will beat you with his arm. He's going to. and we have the best running game in the country.
Yeah, so I agree. I think
it's a team that can make this game a lot more competitive.
Right. I think what the turnover is, like it's time. Like, yeah, Alabama's due. I think, like numbers-wise, like, they're just due a big game.
I'm just like Christian Will. Fourth fumble.
Yeah, like, it's going
to score.
They're just due a good game of, like, forcing a few turnovers, a couple interceptions, maybe forcing fumbles that they don't get.
Right.
But before we shut the show down, I want to get y'all guys game prediction.
I think we're going to get some good Alabama football. I think Adrian fired me up, but yeah. I think we're gonna
shut some people up.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for it. I can't wait. And again, like you said, it's the exact same, almost the exact same scenario. So, I mean, it's going to be a good one regardless. It's two great teams going into it.
Yeah.
But overall, I think Alabama's I assume you feel the same, Adrian.
I'm going to go 45-23 if Bryce plays. I know that's a big score, but if I would have told you last year the SEC championship, Bama would beat Georgia by 17.
Right.
Same reaction.
Okay.
If Miro plays, they're going to be singing off the top. Go now. What's y'all's?
Exactly.
I'm going to go, if Miro plays, we're going to win by
4 points.
I like that. I think we go with that with Miro. I forget about that. And if Bryce plays,
I think if Bryce plays, can be close too. He's not 100%. There's no way.
Good take.
That's fair. That's very fair. I think if Bryce plays, I think he's gonna dominate. I think again, there's a little short thing on being a gamer. I think he's gonna come in again through the game. I'm gonna say, what did you say? 45-23. I like that. I think Tennessee can put up some points in the shootout. I like probably, 42-35.
Okay. Well, with a statement points. Saturday.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, with that, we are going to end this episode. We'll see you guys next week at 7 on Thursday, hopefully with some good news about this game. But for now,
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.